Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A few of you may be surprised to see someone with my last name showing up to speak at a Democratic convention.
That's Ron Reagan, son of former President Reagan, giving a speech on stem cell research last night at the Democratic National Convention in Boston during prime time. Now, the speech was not long. He was right to the point. And I must say, although I disagree with what he had to say, it was masterfully delivered. We're going to hear the entire speech, and we'll be pausing periodically during this last hour of Issues Etc. today. Wesley Smith is our guest. We'll be getting his reaction from time to time as we walk through the speech from Ron Reagan last night at the Democratic National Convention on Embryonic Stem Cell Research. Wesley Smith is our guest. He's a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, author of the forthcoming book, The Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. He's also written a column for National Review Online titled The C Word, Ron Reagan Seduces by Changing the Terms of the Stem Cell Debate. And we'll obviously get him to play out that idea a little bit in the course of this hour. Wesley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. What was the most significant thing about Ron Reagan Jr.'s speech last night on embryonic stem cell research in your way of thinking?
Well, he pulled a big bait and switch. For weeks, we've been told this was going to be a speech that would urge President Bush to increase the number of in vitro fertilization embryos that would be available to be destroyed for embryonic stem cell research and to increase funding for embryonic stem cell research. Instead, Ron Reagan urged the legalization of therapeutic cloning, human cloning. He just didn't use the right words. He called cloning embryonic stem cell research, but the procedure that he described about taking the nucleus out and putting it into the egg and that kind of thing is human cloning. So apparently, not only is Ron Reagan in favor of human cloning, but so is John Kerry.
Now, Wesley, I understand your passion. I have the same passion about this subject. And I'm going to ask you to be patient as we listen to about minute-long snippets of Ron Reagan's speech. And then when we come back to you, I'll be getting your reaction
Sure. In
kind of tandem here, if we could. Here is the beginning and the first few paragraphs of Ron Reagan's speech last night at the Democratic National Convention in Boston.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A few of you may be surprised to see someone with my last name showing up to speak at a Democratic convention. Apparently, some of you are not. Let me assure you, I am not here to make a political speech, and the topic at hand should not, must not, have anything to do with partisanship. I am here tonight to talk about the issue of research into what may be the greatest medical breakthrough in our or any lifetime, the use of embryonic stem cells, cells created using the material of our own bodies to cure a wide range of fatal and debilitating illnesses. Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, lymphoma, spinal cord injuries, and much more. Millions are afflicted, and every year, every day, tragedy is visited upon families across the country, around the world. Now, it may be within our power to put an end to this suffering. We only need to try.
Now, that's the first part of the speech. Wesley, your response to how he began his speech about embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I'm not a partisan either, but it seems to me when you speak at a Democratic convention, you're partisan, especially when the clear implication of the entire speech was that President Bush is impeding cures, and what you're basically saying is vote for John Kerry so you can have these cures, which, by the way, were vastly oversold by him last night. The greatest medical breakthrough in our or in any lifetime, I would say that that's going to be adult stem cell research if it comes to pass, because when he said that we were going to be using tissues of our own body, that is adult stem cell research or adult tissue treatment. What he goes on to describe later is not using the tissues of your own body, but using the tissues of a cloned embryo made from your DNA, and we'll get to that when we get to that place. He talked about curing a wide range of fatal and debilitating illnesses. Parkinson's disease was the first one he mentioned. That's already in early human trials with adult stem cells and other adult tissues with very encouraging results. We've talked about that on your show before. So far, there's only been one human clone embryonic stem cell line created in Korea, and it took 242 eggs. Also, embryonic stem cells cause tumors, and so they cannot at this point be used in humans safely. Multiple sclerosis. There have been adult stem cell research primarily using bone marrow stem cells already in human trials, both in Canada and the United States, with modest success, nothing very exciting yet, but some modest improvement in the patient's condition. Diabetes in mice, juvenile diabetes anyway, has been cured. Late-stage disease has been cured in mice using adult spleen cells. Embryonic stem cells nor cloning has come nowhere near that. Lymphoma, I can't answer to. Spinal cord injuries, this one's really remarkable because there's a doctor in Lisbon, Portugal, named Dr. Carlos Lima, who has found that if he uses a patient's own olfactory tissues, which is very heavy in nerves, and minces it and puts it into a spinal cord of somebody with a spinal cord injury, tremendous results are occurring over in Portugal in early human trials. In fact, recently, some of his patients who had been quadriplegic, like Christopher Reeve, were brought to the United States, and they can actually, at least one woman, can walk with braces now using her own olfactory nerves as a treatment. And again, these are all early human trials. We don't yet know whether it will pan out. But you can see where the tremendous potential seems to lie, and what is purely pie in the sky, which is human cloning.
The interesting thing here is he did not mention, although he talks about embryonic stem cell research, he does not mention adult stem cell research.
No, throughout the whole speech, and which is ridiculous. And the other thing he didn't mention was Alzheimer's disease. The implication was there, but he didn't mention it because, as I believe we spoke about, it's come out that stem cell research is probably not going to be beneficial for Alzheimer's. And even though newspapers continue to report repeatedly that it could help Alzheimer's, there was a quote in the Washington Post, of all places, from a stem cell researcher that said that scientists are letting people think that because, and this is a quote, people need to believe in fairy tales. Because they don't want to correct the record because, they're trying to win a political debate and they're allowing the science to be corrupted and allowing cruel false hopes to be put out there about stem cells and Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a whole brain disease, not a cellular disease, and therefore almost all researchers say that if stem cells are going to cure anything, and I'm talking about adult too, the chances are it's not going to be Alzheimer's.
Okay, Wesley, let's listen some more to Ron Reagan on embryonic stem cell research. He goes on to attempt to paint a simple picture.
Now, some of you already know what I'm talking about when I say embryonic stem cell research. Others of you are probably thinking, that's quite a mouthful. Maybe this is a good time to go for a tall, cold one. Well, wait a minute. Let me try and paint as simple a picture as I can while still doing justice to the science, the incredible science involved. Let's say that 10 or so years from now, you are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. There is currently no cure, and drug therapy with its attendant side effects can only temporarily relieve the symptoms. Now, imagine going to a doctor who, instead of prescribing drugs, takes a few skin cells from your arm. The nucleus of one of your cells is placed into a donor egg whose own nucleus has been removed. A bit of chemical or electrical stimulation will encourage your cell's nucleus to begin dividing, creating new cells, which will then be placed into a tissue culture. Those cells will generate embryonic stem cells containing only your DNA, thereby eliminating the risk of tissue rejection. These stem cells are then driven to become the very neural cells that are defective in Parkinson's patients. And finally, those cells with your DNA are injected into your brain where they will replace the faulty cells whose failure to produce adequate dopamine led to the Parkinson's disease in the first place. In other words, you're cured. And another thing, Another thing, these embryonic stem cells, they could continue to replicate indefinitely and theoretically can be induced to recreate virtually any tissue in your body. How do you like to have your own personal biological repair kit standing by at the hospital? Sound like magic? Welcome to the future of medicine. Now, by the way, no fetal tissue is involved in this process. No fetuses are created, none destroyed. This all happens in the laboratory at the cellular level.
Wesley, respond to that last claim and then work your way back through that last section of Ron Reagan's speech on embryonic stem cell research.
Am I allowed to use the word crap on your show?
Go ahead. You already did.
What a lot of crap that was. I mean, talk about cow manure. No fetal tissue is involved in this process. Well, depends on how long they decide to keep the cloned embryo going. See, when you create a new human life, whether through fertilization or asexually through cloning, it's an embryo from the point of coming into being, conception, or inception if it's cloning, that's what I call it, through the eighth week, that's an embryo. From the eighth week to birth, that's a fetus. If there are, for example, New Jersey law allows right now creation of human cloned embryos, implantation, and gestation through the ninth month. In that sense, we already have a law that would permit fetuses to be used. And you do not create fetuses. You create embryos because, as I said, a fetus begins at eighth week. You do not create a new human life that is already 8 weeks in development. So that's just total junk science. It's also intended to lie to people. It is intended to say that you're not creating a new human life through cloning, which is it, because that's what we're talking about, not embryonic stem cell research, which is another lie in the speech. You are creating a brand new human life. It is not you. It is your almost virtual identical twin created through cloning. This is the procedure by which Dolly the sheep was made that he is describing.
Let's go back to Ron Reagan here so we can get to through the entire speech in the course of our conversation with Wesley Smith. He's a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, author of the forthcoming book Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World, and he's also written a column for National Review Online titled The C Word, Ron Reagan Seduces by Changing the Terms of the Stem Cell Debate. Here's Ron Reagan again.
Now, there are those who would stand in the way of this remarkable future, who would deny the federal funding so crucial to basic research. They argue that interfering with the development of even the earliest stage embryo, even one that will never be implanted in a womb and will never develop into an actual fetus, is tantamount to murder. A few of these folks, needless to say, are just grinding a political axe, and they should be ashamed of themselves. But many are well-meaning and sincere. Their belief is just that, an article of faith, and they are entitled to it. But it does not follow that the theology of a few should be allowed to forestall the health and well-being of the many.
Wesley, is this just a theological issue, this wanting to protect the embryo?
No, you've gotten into pure demagoguery with that last bit of statement. First of all, there are plenty of people who oppose human cloning for non-religious reasons, including many Democrats. You know, there's been a complete ban on human cloning. And again, we were promised that this was going to be a call for increased funding of embryonic stem cell research using embryos that were going to be discarded after IVF procedures. Remember that? That's all we've been hearing for weeks now. He never once mentioned IVF embryos because he's changed it from embryonic stem cell research as we've always described it to human cloning. He just doesn't use the C word, which is where the title of my piece came from. So many non-religious Democrats, twice now, in the last 3 years, have voted to ban all human cloning, including therapeutic cloning, which is what he's describing. So has the nation of France, which is the most secular nation in the free world. So has the nation of Canada, which might be described as San Francisco as a country, it is so liberal. So has the country of Australia, not exactly a Taliban theocracy. So has the country of Norway, which is has Scandinavian morality, and therefore is not bound by, religious prescriptions. So this was anti-religion baiting and demagoguery, trying to make people think that the only opponents of human cloning, which he won't even admit is human cloning, are people with religious perspectives. Beyond that, people with religious perspectives have as much right to be involved in the marketplace of ideas in a democracy as anybody else. In terms of federal funding so crucial to the research, here's what he said. Now, there are those who would stand in the way of this remarkable future, who would deny the federal funding so crucial to basic research. As far as I know, at this point, there has been no attempt to introduce a bill authorizing federal funding of human cloning, of human somatic cell nuclear transfer. So that must be either pending or he is intentionally trying to confuse viewers into thinking about the IVF embryos in which there is a contention about the amount of federal funding as opposed to cloning. So this is pure demagoguery, disingenuousness, and dishonesty.
Ron Reagan Jr., making a speech at the Democratic National Convention last night in Boston, went on to talk about who is and who isn't a human being.
How can we affirm life if we abandon those whose own lives are so desperately at risk? It is a hallmark of human intelligence that we are able to make distinctions. Yes, these cells could theoretically have the potential under very different circumstances to develop into human beings. That potential is where their magic lies. But they are not, in and of themselves, human beings. They have no fingers and toes, no brain or spinal cord. They have no thoughts, no fears. They feel no pain. Surely, we can distinguish between these undifferentiated cells multiplying in a tissue culture and a living, breathing person, a parent, a spouse, a child.
Wesley, what do you make of Ron Reagan's distinction there?
Well, he's, again, making a false distinction, and he's misstating the science. This is junk science run amok. Yes, we can make distinctions, but we have to have accurate science in order to accurately decide the morality and ethics of certain issues. And this is precisely what proponents of human cloning, which is again what we're talking about, and embryonic stem cell research refuse to permit. They refuse to permit accurate scientific descriptions of what we're talking about so that we can have a rational and reasoned moral debate, because they know if they do that, they will lose that debate. Let's take a look at what he says. Yes, these cells could theoretically have the potential under very different circumstances to develop into human beings. No cell can develop into human beings unless it's a zygote, which is the beginning of an embryo. And an embryo is not just a cell. It is a zygote is not just a cell. It is an embryo. He is not talking. He says these are just cells. No, before they become cells in a petri dish, they are a self-contained human organism known as an embryo. That is the biology. That is the truth scientifically of it. Now, whether or not you think that it matters that an embryo is a human organism or a human life, that is an issue of morality. That is an issue of ethics, and that is an issue of values. But to say that it is merely that an embryo is merely cells is inaccurate science. The cells that he's talking about may exist in a petri dish, but it is after the human organism has been destroyed to derive those cells. That is the truth. Now, he says they have no fingers and toes, no brain or spinal cord, so they're not human beings. Well, he looked just like those embryos did when he was that age. So did you, Todd. So did I. Human beings look differently at different times. And when a human being, and this is science, a human entity, a human organism, a human embryo looks like a human embryo at 1 week at that time. A cow embryo looks different. A sheep embryo looks different. A human embryo looks like a human embryo. And eventually, the only reason it could eventually become a human being, by which he means a baby, is because it's an embryo. You could implant cells, stem cells, into women's wombs from here until doomsday, and you would not have one baby. But if you implant a cloned embryo into a woman's womb, if everything worked out well, which would be a highly problematic, but assuming it worked out well, you would have a cloned human baby.
I find this just as frustrating as it can possibly be, just in terms of honesty, Wesley,
right.
Because it seems the speech seems to have been crafted to deliberately confuse the hearer as to whether he's talking about an embryo or a stem cell. I've even heard people, well-meaning people, who otherwise would be opposed to embryonic stem cell research, saying, "Well, the stem cell is the person. The stem
right.
cell is the human being." And you say, "No, but it is. You have to destroy a human being, kill a human being, in order to get that stem cell." Got no problem with the stem cells. I got a problem with the means by which Ron Reagan is proposing to get them.
Well, this is really the primary tactic of the pro-cloning, pro-embryonic stem cell side of this debate. You're right. This was very carefully crafted to hide and be disingenuous and obfuscate. It is not candid. It is not honest. It promotes junk science, and it disrespects the people who were listening to that speech, who have to make a very difficult moral decision about these issues. They don't want people to understand what's going on. All they want people to hear is the hyped promise of cures and just, you know, do away with these details that we're actually going to be destroying embryos, that we might actually end up having cloned babies because of cloning research, because the very research that, you know, he acts as if there's a difference between the cloning procedure for a cloned embryo to be used in research and one to make a baby. They're the same act of cloning. It's somatic cell nuclear transfer, which he, by the way, somewhat inaccurately described in his speech, but we've been through it on your show many times, and we don't have to go through that again. But cloning is cloning is cloning. Once you do the somatic cell nuclear transfer procedure, you have a new human life, a human embryo, and then it's just a matter of what we do with that embryo. Do we research upon it, or do we implant it and bring it to birth? The scientists from South Korea who created the first human clones through somatic cell nuclear transfer and obtained a single stem cell line from that from cloned embryos admitted that the very research he had conducted could also be used for reproductive cloning. There's no difference. And by the way, this idea of each of us having this magic toolkit waiting for us, remember, we've been through this many times. It takes human eggs to make each of these embryos for use in therapeutic cloning. It would take tens of millions, billions of human eggs just to treat the 100 million Americans in this country with degenerative conditions. So the idea that this is going to ever be widely available is a pipe dream. There are not going to be enough eggs, and it's going to lead to the exploitation of women, because in order to get the eggs for use in mass human cloning, they're going to be strip mining the third world, paying very destitute women very small amounts of money to go through hyperovulation, which can be dangerous if you don't have adequate medical care nearby, to obtain eggs. This whole thing is dehumanizing, commodifying of human life, and exploiting of women, which is why some very adamant feminists are against human cloning. They see it as an issue of exploitation of women, which he also didn't get into.
We'll hear more from Ron Reagan when we come back from the break. Wesley Smith is our guest. You can read a column he has written for National Review Online, "The C Word Ron Reagan Seduces by Changing the Terms of the Stem Cell Debate." You can read it online at WesleyJSmith.com, WesleyJSmith.com. Now, our phone lines are open for your thoughts on Ron Reagan Jr.'s address to the Democratic National Convention on Embryonic Stem Cell Research last night. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. More with Wesley Smith when we come back.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does God's law motivate the Christian to do good works? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. The next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal contains an article titled "Getting Clear on Sanctification." It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine. You can receive a complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line 1-800-737-0172. Plus, I've written an article titled, The Fad-Driven Church. Why are so many pastors worshiping at the altar of novelty? Find out with the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. The next issue also details Uwe Simonetto's journey from hedonism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio program, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal. Call now, 1-800-737-0172, and ask for a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal.
Caro on Ancas. What does it mean?
Answers with Ken Ham, host of the acclaimed film The Genesis Solution. Well, Ken, I've always been led to believe that it takes millions of years for coral reefs to form. I know you don't believe that claim, though.
Well, if Noah's flood occurred only about 4,500 years ago, as the Bible indicates, then the coral reefs, such as the famous Great Barrier Reef in Australia, must be less than 4,500 years old. When I went to school, my teachers were adamant that coral grew so slowly it would take millions of years for a reef structure to form. But I remember the first time I took a trip out to the Barrier Reef and went into one of the underwater observatories. I was amazed to see great clumps of coral already growing on the large anchor chains. This certainly had not taken millions of years. Then I heard about some fascinating research on coral growth conducted by Australian scientists. They found that the average growth of certain corals was over half an inch in a year. Now, the deepest part of the Great Barrier Reef is around 180 feet. At this growth rate, the entire reef could be explained in less than 4,000 years, which fits the biblical date of the flood. Yes, the Bible can be trusted from its very first verse.
Well, what does the Bible share with us about the origin of the different races or people groups? Actually, much more than you might think. Read Ken Ham's free booklet on the origin of the races when you log on to our attractive and easy-to-use website, AnswersRadio.com. That's AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. 77% of America's sixth graders have a TV in their bedroom. If your children have a TV in their bedroom, do them a big favor and take it out. The more immorality and disrespect children see on TV, the more they are inclined to act that way in real life. But it is difficult to monitor what our children are watching when they are in their bedroom. Take the TV out of their bedroom. When your children complain, use those complaints as an opportunity to explain how much you and Jesus love them. Jesus only wants what is best for them, and parents act on his behalf. Tell your children that you want to do everything possible to help them grow up to be mature and faithful Christians, and that includes removing the TV set from their bedroom. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Hope Lutheran Church and School in St. Louis is an underwriter of Issues Etc. Hope Lutheran is located at 5218 Neosho in St. Louis. Randy Asbury and Stephen Rosebrock are the pastors. Their phone number, 314-352-0014, 352-0014. Hope Lutheran Church and School in St. Louis, www.hopelutheranstl.org, www.hopelutheranstl.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 25 minutes of the program, we continue walking through the speech by Ron Reagan Jr. last night on embryonic stem cell research delivered at the Democratic National Convention in Boston. Wesley Smith is our guest. We invite your questions and your comments as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from his car, Derek is on the line. Derek, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. Wesley, just had a question about the suitability of embryonic stem cells for therapeutic applications. I understand that there are some problems that haven't been overcome yet.
Yes, and, there are problems, and the more are being discovered every day. First off, they cause tumors. And that makes them at this point unsuitable for use in human trials, because just as an example, there was an experiment with mice a few years ago, and it's been done more than once, actually, trying to help Parkinson's, and they used embryonic stem cells. There was a very mild improvement in the mice, but 20% of them died of brain tumors You can't do that to human patients. In another experiment, they tried to see whether embryonic stem cells could rebuild a broken knee area of a mouse, and it actually formed tumors that destroyed the knee. In one human case, a human in China was given fetal tissue to try to treat Parkinson's, and apparently there were some stem cells in that cadaver tissue that was put into the patient, because he died of a brain tumor called a teratoma. There were teeth, there were hair, and all bone, other kinds of tissues that apparently become out of these stem cells, and it ended up killing him. Second, the other issue is tissue rejection, because if you're going to use an IVF embryo, which is what we've been talking about until last night with regard to embryonic stem cell research, then they're worried that the body would reject the tissues in the same way that a body rejects an organ. And so the patient would have to take very strong drugs for the rest of his or her life. That's where therapeutic cloning comes in, which again is what Ron Reagan described last night. He described human cloning, not embryonic stem cell research with IVF embryos, which people tend to support in polling, because the idea is, well, look, these embryos are going to be destroyed anyway. Let's get some good out of them. That's the only way they can get the American people to support in a majority fashion this research. When you ask them whether they support therapeutic cloning or the creating of human embryos for the research, by majority votes, sometimes large majority votes, they vote no. And that's why you see the word games being played in Ron Reagan's speech and in almost the entire advocacy for this therapy, this research by the pro-cloning side.
Wesley, you mentioned before the break that Ron Reagan did a very brief explanation of embryonic stem cell production. You're accurately saying he really just described human cloning.
That's right.
But take us through the basics, defining these things well, defining all the terms, and beginning with the basic question, clearing up that little confusion that I mentioned before, the confusion between the embryo and the stem cells that are harvested from the embryo requiring its destruction.
Right. What happens in cloning is this, and it's called somatic cell nuclear transfer. Let's say you wanted to clone me, all right? What you would do is you would take a woman's egg and you would take out the nucleus. You would then take one of my skin cells, as Ron Reagan described last night, and you would take out the nucleus of my skin cell. You would then take that nucleus and put it where the nucleus of the egg used to be and zap it with electricity. The result would not be cells as Reagan described it. The result would be a new human embryo. This is called creating life asexually. You can create life sexually, which is fertilization, sperm and egg, or you can create now mammalian life asexually, meaning cloning. Dolly the sheep, which we know very famously, was created asexually through this very same process of somatic cell nuclear transfer. Now, to get embryonic stem cells from that embryo, you allow it to develop for about a week. And at that point of time, it is filled with about 200 cells. It has the trophoblast, I think it's called, around it, which is a lining which would become the placenta if it were implanted. You destroy the embryo, you extract the cells, and you try to find stem cells and create stem cell lines. That is how you can get an embryonic stem cell line, whether the embryo is created asexually through cloning or sexually through fertilization. That process would be the same. Now, another point in terms of the gentleman's question who called in, one of the things Ron Reagan said last night is you could keep these things going forever. That's an issue of embryonic stem cells, that is, as long as they're kept in the undifferentiated state, meaning that as long as they had not become specific tissue types, such as blood or bone, but had remained stem cells, undifferentiated cells, scientists used to think you could keep them, it was called immortality, that you could keep these embryonic stem cells functioning forever. Well, that's no longer true, it appears, and Ron Reagan did not mention that last night, because in several studies, scientists have found that maintaining stem cell lines from embryonic stem cells, eventually over time, they develop chromosomal abnormalities of the same kind you see in cancers. So the idea that embryonic stem cells, as long as they remain undifferentiated, are immortal appears not to be the case.
Let's go back to the phone.
And you'd think that the media would want to report this, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, but when you find guys like Ron Reagan, who's the advocate for it, can't even get it straight.
Well, he can get it straight. Somebody wrote that for him, and it was a biotechnology expert and lobbyist who wanted him to present a false picture.
So why can't an educated man like Ron Reagan, why can't he see through the junk science? I understand why a reporter who's working on a deadline, trying to get this story, he's got limited numbers of words to use, why he might get a little sloppy. But this is a guy who's the advocate. Why can't he see it as junk science?
Well, you'd wonder why Christopher Reeve can't see it, too. You know, and Christopher Reeve has a lot directly at stake yet. He throws out more junk science in a sentence or in a paragraph than you'd ever want to shake a stick at. I don't know what's going on, Todd. You know, I'm not in these people's hearts. Number one, a lot of these folk who are not experts just turn to the scientists and they say, well, what's the truth? And the scientists will give them, unfortunately, a lot of half-truths and false junk science and some truths. And so then they'll listen to me and they'll say, well, Wesley's an ideologue. But the ironic thing is, because everything I say is, and people on my side of this debate, not just me, everything that we say is so closely scrutinized, we have to be extremely careful with our science, right? And we would anyway because of integrity. But beyond that, just in terms of knowing we're going to be double-checked and triple-checked by a very skeptical media, we have to be very accurate in what we say. The scientists, on the other hand, who are just as ideological and sometimes have a financial conflict of interest because a lot of them hope to get rich off this stuff, they will just make these bald assertions that are half-truths, false, or obfuscating, and a Ron Reagan, a Christopher Reeve might say, well, they're the scientists, they know what they're talking about. And in the media, you have two kinds of reporters who cover this. One kind is a science reporter who tend to be advocates and tend to be boosters and tend to oppose ideological people like me, so they may not give me any fairness. And I can give you an example of that, which is really blatant if you're interested. The second kind is just a general pool reporter who said, you know, hey, Charlie, go cover the news conference by the cloning scientists, who doesn't know anything. So he's in the same place as a Ron Reagan or a Christopher Reeve, who when the scientist says something and perhaps I or some others rebut it, will say, well, the scientists must know what they're talking about, and Smith must just be an ideologue, when it's actually the reverse is true, but it's very hard to get that through to people.
Back to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Sam Litz listens in St. Louis. Sam, welcome.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if one of the advantages of adult stem cell research would be is that you would have the adult person right in front of you, so you'd be able to tell if there were major defects or not, because it would be apparent in the adult. And if that is one advantage, using adult stem cell research, if you use that to build an organ or whatever, that organ is still 40 years old if you took a 40-year-old adult, though, isn't it? Wasn't that the problem with Dolly?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. With adult stem cell research, and, you know, it's not perfected yet, so we have to be careful that we don't overpromise, too. But if it worked out, the cells of our own body, particularly our bone marrow stem cells, our blood stem cells, and so forth, could become very potent medicine, which is very exciting. That would be a self-repair kit. In fact, that's what stem cells do in the natural body, is there apparently are adult stem cells throughout our entire body that are part of the issue of repairing tissues that are damaged and so forth. And so what adult stem cell therapies would seek to do is to help do what the body would naturally do anyway, except for the illness or the injury. In terms of the metabolism being the same, the embryonic stem cells are very hard to control, and they differentiate very quickly, which may be why they cause tumors. We don't know for sure about that. Human adult stem cells do not appear yet to cause tumors. That is not to say, though, that there haven't been some problems. On occasion, sometimes adult stem cells have appear to have fused with cells and caused some DNA abnormalities. Some embryonic stem cell boosters say that adult stem cells don't actually differentiate into other tissues. Well, that's turning out not to be true in recent studies, but beyond that, it wouldn't matter because at least so far in the animal studies and in the early human trials, There does seem to be a real clinical benefit to these adult stem cells in heart disease, in Parkinson's disease, in multiple sclerosis, which has been more modest, and in for example, umbilical cord blood stem cells, which is another source of stem cells, actually cures Tay-Sachs disease. If the adult stem cell works, it's clearly superior because it's easier, it's cheaper, and you don't have as many potential problems. Now, it may be a little more difficult to find adult stem cells because they are fewer in number than, opening up an embryo and getting them. But they seem to be getting better at doing that, too, differentiating them from other tissues.
Barbara listens in St. Louis. Barbara, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I believe it was on this show you talked about a woman who went overseas and had successful stem cell therapy. And was that the same exact example that you were just talking about, or is that, how is that done? What do they do?
Yeah, there have been a lot of adult stem cell and other adult tissue, because sometimes it's not a stem cell but adult tissue, in early human trials. Now, these are experiments. So I don't want to say that people are being massively treated, because they're not. These are early experiments. I have talked about people going over to Lisbon, Portugal, to go to Dr. Carlos Lima's clinic, where he is actually very, very exciting research, treating people with severe spinal cord injuries, quadriplegics, paraplegics, with their own olfactory tissue, that is the mucosal, the tissues in the nose, in the back of the nose, which has a lot of nerves in it. And people with severe spinal cord injury in early experiments have had the return of some feeling. Some have had bladder control return, which just in and of itself is important. And a couple have actually been able now to stand up and even walk. One woman has been able to walk using braces. There has been in Brazil, they used bone marrow stem cells to see if they could treat 5 heart transplant patients, that is, patients who needed heart transplants. And when the bone marrow stem cell research or therapy was complete, only one of those 5 still needed a heart transplant. So there is exciting stuff going on, but again, it's very early. We have to make sure that there is a fear, for example, that some of these heart patients might experience arrhythmias and so forth. This is very early work, but it seems to me pretty encouraging, and in the animal studies too, for example, the juvenile diabetes being cured in mice.
Let's go back to where we left off with Ronald Reagan's speech last night to the Democratic National Convention in Boston on the subject of embryonic stem cell research. He continues by telling a story of a child with juvenile diabetes.
I know a child. Well, she must be 13 now. I guess I'd better call her a young woman. She has fingers and toes. She has a mind. She has memories. She has hopes. She has juvenile diabetes. Like so many kids with this disease, she has adjusted amazingly well. The insulin pump she wears, she's decorated hers with rhinestones. She can handle her own catheter needle. She's learned to sleep through the blood drawings in the wee hours of the morning. She's very brave. She is also quite bright and understands full well the progress of her disease and what that might ultimately mean. Blindness, amputation, diabetic coma. Every day she fights to have a future. What excuse will we offer this young woman should we fail her now? What might we tell her children or the millions of others who suffer? That when given an opportunity to help, we turned away? That facing political opposition, we lost our nerve? That even though we knew better, we did nothing? And should we fail, how will we feel if a few years from now, a more enlightened generation should fulfill the promise of embryonic stem cell therapy? Imagine what they would say of us who lacked the will. No, we owe this young woman and all those who suffer, we owe ourselves better than that. We are better than that.
All right, Wesley, he resorts there to an anecdote of this young girl with juvenile diabetes. Tell us the real story. What would he really be asking,
you know,
of the research community, if what he's really asking us to do for this young woman?
Well, he's asking us to engage in human cloning for this young woman. But this is really shameful. It's as if that unless we do human cloning and embryonic stem cell therapy with human cloning, we're not doing anything. Did you notice that? What if we did nothing? What he might have told his audience, in addition to the adult stem cell successes and experiments with animals that I described, that right now people with juvenile diabetes are being cured with cadaver transplants of pancreatic islets, and that a lot of people, and this is now in a treatment that is ongoing, it's beyond just the experimental stage, I believe, that they're throwing away their insulin already from this tissue transplant of cadaveric pancreatic islet tissue. So the idea that she is necessarily already doomed to the kind of future he described is wrong. It's wrong. And there's much else going on in terms of research. Did you know that the Juvenile Diabetes Association, which publicly continues to scream about embryonic stem cell research, puts more money of its money into adult stem cell research? I mean, this whole thing was a shameful, pandering, and really cruel indictment of people, as if today we're not doing anything about this disease when scientists are. And a great deal of effort is being put into it, and cures are already occurring without human cloning and without embryonic stem cell research, which, even if it could eventually cure diabetes, is so far away that probably by the time it came online, you would have other cures from other modalities in addition to the transplants that I already described. Moreover, there's a danger here. And that danger is, if we listen to this kind of demagoguery and get pushed into the taking money away from adult stem cell research and taking intellectual capacities and intellectual resources of researchers away from adult stem cell research and put it into human cloning research, we may be slowing down the very cures that Ron Reagan says he wants.
Let's hear the conclusion of Ron Reagan's speech last night to the Democratic National Convention.
We are a wiser people, a finer nation. And for all of us in this fight, let me say, we will prevail. The tide of history is with us. Like all generations who have come before ours, we are motivated by a thirst for knowledge and compelled to see others in need as fellow angels on an often difficult path, deserving of our compassion. In a few months, we will face a choice. Yes, between two candidates and two parties, but more than that, we have a chance to take a giant stride forward for the good of all humanity. We can choose between the future and the past, between reason and ignorance, between true compassion and mere ideology. This is our moment, and we must not falter. Whatever else you do, come November 2nd, I urge you, please, cast a vote for embryonic stem cell research. Thank you for your time.
Ron Reagan delivering a speech at the Democratic National Convention in Boston last night. Wesley, in addition to your general reaction here, and our time grows short, they're not going to talk about abortion at the Democratic National Convention. They're going to avoid all sorts of subjects, and so will the Republicans, of course. But why this subject? I'm wondering, what kind of poll does somebody have to get this controversial subject on the dais in prime time? Can we trace the line to big biotech money?
Well, I think you can trace it to big biotech money. And it is a partisan issue in one sense. I mean, human cloning hasn't been, because, as I said, many Democrats oppose human cloning. This was an attempt to change and bait and switch the idea that therapeutic cloning, they're trying to now say that's embryonic stem cell research. Remember, it was embryonic stem cell research was supposed to be about IVF embryos. Remember that? He didn't mention IVF embryos once. What this is a bait and switch, and I think that many in the Democratic Party, because John Kerry has now come out in favor of the Hatch-Feinstein bill, which would legalize human cloning And I have a story about that on my website, too, that people can read. It's disingenuous. It calls itself a cloning ban and then legalizes human cloning. I mean, it's the most remarkable bunch of half-truths and lies in this debate that I've ever seen. It is very frustrating because I constantly have to spend my time correcting just the basic discussions of what we're having and definitions because these people do not respect the American people enough to tell them the full truth. The people who were cheering so loudly in that convention last night had no idea that Ronald Reagan was talking about human cloning, had no idea that many Democrats have opposed the very proposals that Ron Reagan was pushing. And also, by the way, Ronald Reagan, the president, would have opposed human cloning because he believed that human life mattered from the moment it came into being to its natural death.
Wesley, finally, and with only a minute, no more to answer. I'm at work. A colleague stops me at the water cooler. Did you see Ron Reagan Jr.'s speech last night? Wasn't that encouraging? How should we respond?
It was very Clinton-esque. He said he was talking about embryonic stem cell research. He was instead talking about legalizing human cloning. And moreover, he was overpromising the potential and offering cruel false hope to people who are suffering without mentioning what seems to be the quicker road to treatments, which is adult stem cell and other adult regenerative medical treatments.
You can read Wesley's latest column on the web. It's called The C Word Ron Reagan Seduces by Changing the Terms of the Stem Cell Debate. Read it on the web at his website, WesleyJSmith.com. WesleyJSmith.com. Wesley, thanks for being our guest again.
Thank you, Todd.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute. He has a forthcoming book. Looking forward to reading it. Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World, and he's written that column for National Review Online. You can also find it at his website, WesleyJSmith.com. The article is called The C Word, Ron Reagan Seduces by Changing the Terms of the Stem Cell Debate. Well, it does frustrate, doesn't it, to hear someone stand with a primetime audience. And how often does this subject get discussed in primetime? Never. Someone stands with a primetime audience and lay out probably the most well-crafted and very well-delivered system of lies and half-truths on who the human being is and what does it take to get a stem cell and what the promises of embryonic stem cell research is. Look, if I didn't know better, it would have convinced me. Don't let it convince you, folks. That's why we have programs like this with Wesley Smith, to clear away the junk science, to give you the truth, and to tell you what we're really talking about. We're really talking about a human life. We're really talking about human lives, not just the human lives of those who may be helped, with legitimate and moral adult stem cell research, but also of the lives that are threatened and under threat right now by those who advocate for embryonic stem cell research. One of these days, the word embryonic is going to fall out of it, folks. Just 5 years from now, you won't read about embryonic stem cell research anymore. You'll just hear about stem cell research. Until then, let's try and keep the word in there so that we remember what's really at stake here. The human life. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.